number two of that 590 show coming at you right now on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. The text line is available at 855-282-8255. The Belmont Automotive phone line, though, is occupied by our good friend Kevin Brackett from RealSpoilers.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett. Kevin, how are you, sir?
You know what, Matt? I'm glad I liked the movie because I've been better. I'm stuck on the side of the road with a flat tire right now.
Oh, that is bad news. Where are you, in a safe spot, or do we need to call AAA for you?
Yeah. No, I think we've got that part covered, but I was on my way to a New Line Theater to go see a play that is opening tonight, and unfortunately I'll miss that, but hey, I get to do the radio with you. That's good.
Hey, there we go. We'll keep you company while the tow truck is coming.
And I have to say,
Thank you, sir.
We got to open this one by saying that, yeah, Pirates.
It was exactly
how Kevin described it. It's just it's very hollow, very thin, especially considering how long it is, and considering they try to take a very in-depth look at a storyline and a character that we talked about it last time. They didn't really develop. It was just, it's really hard, but that's the thing that stands out the most is the fact that not a lot of stuff actually happens, and you're in the theater for over 2 hours.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. I'm sorry that you had to go to it, and I know you were looking forward to it, but it really comes down to the story and the writing, and if they are going to do another one, which of course they will with how much money this will make, despite the story, they really need to invest in characters that people care about and a good story, and not the same old, hey, this is the fifth time that we need to break a curse on a ship.
And I saw one story where Bruckheimer's pretty much saying that another movie is contingent on whether or not Johnny Depp wants to do it, and personally, I think that shouldn't be contingent on it at all. Keep the franchise going, but maybe do a reset. Maybe be done with Jack
Sparrow. Be younger.
You're done with Elizabeth and Will. You had their reunion. Spoilers. You kind of tied up that story from the very first movie, and you had young CGI Jack Sparrow, which was really creepy, actually. Where they CGI'd what's his name, Johnny Depp, and to make him look like he was 25, and it was actually extremely creepy. The Uncanny Valley took its toll on that one.
Absolutely, it did not work. Marvel and Disney have the technology down. ILM knows what they're doing with those Marvel movies, but for whatever reason, it just looked very smooth and very fake, like a bad video game caricature. But you're absolutely right. With the Pirates franchise, You hit the nail on the head. What they need to do is they need to do a young Jack Sparrow story, and meaning not CGI it, but recast it with a different actor. He's under so much makeup and a wig of dreadlocks and a bandana. It does not have to be Johnny Depp. Anybody that's a good actor can put on that costume, and if they're a good enough actor, they're going to pull it off. So let's hope they go that route in the future.
And to that point, you cannot look at Jack Sparrow and look at Johnny Depp's character in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and tell me that those are the that's the exact same person. So with how much they change up Jack Sparrow from Johnny Depp, you can definitely get away with doing a younger version with a new actor. That shouldn't be a problem at all.
Absolutely. The funny thing is, I told someone this after I saw that fifth movie, there are cosplayers that cosplay Jack Sparrow better than Johnny Depp plays him.
If Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is one of the most overrated movies I've ever seen in my entire life. I know people who love that movie. I'm like, that movie sucks.
Step lightly, son.
What's so good about that movie is just Hunter S. Thompson in Las Vegas on a bunch of drugs. What's entertaining about that?
You need more than that to be entertained?
Yes, I do. It's boring after a while.
I can't speak badly about that movie. That movie's fantastic. But there's another movie out this week that is wonderful, and we should talk about that for sure.
Good segue. I was getting ready to pivot that way. Wonder Woman is getting some great reviews. I know a lot of people are saying that this could possibly be the biggest movie of the summer. I know that you saw it. It's starring Gal Gadot and also has Robin Wright in it and Chris Pine, directed by Patty Jenkins, who has only directed one other movie, and that is the movie Monster that came out in 2004, starring Charlize Theron, who won an Oscar playing Arlene Wuornos.
Yeah, and I hate to be the pronunciation police, but do you know that her name's actually pronounced Gal Gadot? You pronounce the T.
Oh, you pronounce the T. My bad. I thought it was Gal Gadot, but it is Gal Gadot. I'm sorry. I learned something today.
No problem at all. It's just one of those things where I figured that I would start spreading awareness, because most people, and in the past I've said it that way, but a lot of people, especially around the release of this movie, are actually trying to figure out how to pronounce it. So anyway, but aside from that, though, the movie, I didn't have very high expectations, because we've talked about this before. It is the fourth DC Extended Universe film in this reboot. So, of course, we had Man of Steel. We had, we had Batman v Superman, which was supposed to be a Man of Steel sequel, ended up being more of a Batman movie, but that's where they introduced Wonder Woman. So they did a lot with that movie. It was too busy. That's why it didn't work, along with some choices that were very odd. And then, of course, we had the flaming garbage fire that was Suicide Squad. So that did not give people a lot to look forward to with this movie, as far as that series goes. But what they did is they were very tricky with how they played with the timelines, and this actually takes place in the early 1900s. So that means it eliminates everything we know about the franchise so far, and this is actually chronologically the first movie. So we're able to avoid any of the shortcomings of the past. We're able to avoid any terrible Joker personas, and it doesn't revolve with the characters that we know other than Wonder Woman. So I think it's really smart of them the way they did that to separate it, especially with the backlash from those films. And with that being said, I didn't have a lot of faith going into it just because of what I had seen previously, but I will tell you, I was so impressed with this film. I was so delighted with it. Everything from the story, the direction, the cinematography, the acting, the character development, and the action scenes, all of it phenomenal, and I could not have been more pleased with how it turned out.
It's getting some fantastic reviews. Some people are saying this is going to save, as you mentioned, the other DC Extended Universe movies are not very good, especially if we compare them to the Marvel movies, which are almost every single one of them outstanding, and the DC Extended Universe has been the exact opposite. A lot of people are saying this is going to save the franchise, and people think this could be the biggest blockbuster of the summer. Do you think it has that kind of legs?
I absolutely do, and here's why. So we talked about this last week. There was a lot riding on this movie. Number one, as you've already mentioned, it was going to make or break this franchise, this version of the DC films. So with that, it has saved, so to speak, this version of what we're seeing. It has given people faith in DC and Warner Brothers again for superhero movies. But then also, this is the first superhero film directed by a female director. And if you look at the magnitude as far as the budget goes, and all of the different things with special effects and superheroes and balancing all that, it is huge, huge for that reason. And so that's, it's a two or threefold equation here. So not only do you have a great film, and a great director, but the story is great, and it is just a fun movie. So they really hit a home run with this. And I will tell you, it brings out emotions that I did not expect to feel in a superhero movie. So it isn't just bombastic. It isn't just great special effects. But the character development, Diana, of course, played by Gal Gadot, she is raised on an island called Themyscira. Sorry, it's hard to pronounce. But she is raised with all these other Amazons. There's no men. There's no humans. This is a race of Amazon warriors, and they're on this beautiful island that they do such a good job creating in this film. And she's raised as a small child there. And so you've got all these adult Amazon women, and you have a child, which is very odd. And she doesn't even really understand the significance of that. But as she grows up, she's trained to be a warrior, and we learn more about her backstory, which I will not spoil on this review. But she eventually, through a series of events, she is forced to leave the island to help save the world, essentially. And during the Great War, she basically goes to fight and save mankind. She was told stories as a child about stories about gods and about Zeus and the god of war, and so she is thinking that the gods are responsible for actually real events that happened that we know about. So it's really neat how they play with the story. And then from there, it's really fun to see this character develop as she's introduced to the world of men. She has to learn about people and the good and the bad that come with them, and then also the customs and how people dress and how people talk. And it is just really neat. It's a fish out of water story, so to speak, but with so much heart, because this character is such a good person. Diana is such an amazing person that is always concerned with helping people and saving people. And so it actually gets quite emotional at times. And I did not expect to experience this in a superhero movie, but not only did it have the great action scenes and the superheroes and the special effects, but it had a lot of heart. And I think that is what is going to get people the four quadrant hit, you know, the men, women, young, old. Everybody is going to love this movie and they're going to talk about it. And once that word of mouth gets out, I think that in the week two and three, that is what's going to solidify this as probably the biggest movie of the summer.
Kevin Brackett from RealSpoilers.com joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett. And if you're in the area, swing on by and change his tire for him, for God's sake. He's stranded
yeah,
right now.
Thank you.
He's stranded right now. Any kind of undertones to this movie that you picked up on that I know there has been a little bit of, it's so weird to say this about a movie, you know, starring Wonder Woman, but there has been a little bit of controversy about this movie because of the subject matters that you've touched on and it being directed by a female that, I mean, I don't know if this kind of alt-right males, if they feel threatened by this female empowerment in this movie.
No, not, there's nothing to worry about, and that is fake news, 100%. There's no controversy. There's no story there. Basically, the Alamo Drafthouse in Texas, who's known for publicity stunts, and they're great with their marketing and getting their name out there, they wanted to hold one all-woman screening for the movie called Wonder Woman, starring mainly women, directed by a female woman. You know, it's not like there aren't 1,000, 4,000 other theaters that they could go see the movie at. You know, this was one screening. It isn't even an issue. But the thing I really thought was great about this movie is all those things you mentioned, female director, female stars, right? And it is about empowering women, and women can do the same thing the guys can. The female superhero, Wonder Woman, is powerful. She's essentially a god and is able to hang with all the other male superheroes and is quite possibly the most powerful among them all. But even with all that comes into play, it never puts down men. It never, even Chris Pine, who plays the love interest and the co-star of the film, it never puts him as the damsel in distress, so to speak. So it's not saying men aren't capable and that now women have to save them. It isn't saying that it isn't a yay feminism go movie,
sure,
or so to speak. Not the bad kind of feminism.
Yeah, okay, but you know how it is in 2017, that anytime you do all anything that doesn't include white men, the white men are going to complain about, well, if we wanted to make a movie and we said that no women are allowed, we're allowed to go in this movie theater, then we'd be called sexist and this and that and the other thing. It's like, oh, shut up. Yeah, when are white men going to get a position of power in this day and age, right? I mean, come on.
Right,
just because
exactly.
Things aren't always going your way, the one time it doesn't give you the right to bitch and moan.
Absolutely. And so that was one of the things that, again, going into the film, I didn't have very high expectations, not because I thought it would be bad or heard it was bad, but I just didn't know what to expect from Warner Brothers and DC at this point in time. But they nailed it. They got the story. They got the visual effects. They got the characters. They got all that. And then they also didn't force any kind of a political agenda at you. It wasn't a feminist agenda. It wasn't any kind of politics. What it is a great story with a lot of heart, and it's a lot of fun as well. And they play with the timeline, like we talked about, with real life history, with the gods, with superheroes. And it just makes for such an excellent movie. I cannot wait to see it again.
Does Linda Carter make a cameo in this movie?
You know, I was talking to someone about that earlier today, unless I missed it and it's a very hidden cameo. No, she does not. She doesn't play
that's
her
kind
mother.
Of a, that's a bit of an upset, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I was very surprised because leaving the movie, I thought the same thing. Hey, where was Linda Carter? And usually you would think she would have been the mother or aunt or sister, you know, some kind of an important character related to her as a wink and a nod at the camera. But, you know, I think that with all this writing on the movie, and not saying that would have ruined it probably either way, but I just don't think they were looking for gimmicks or looking for little things like that. They put their money where their mouth is. They put all the money onto the screen. It's a beautiful film. Jeff Johns, who is a comic creator who's great, he was responsible, or at least in part, for the script. So they did everything right, and they really knew that this movie was important for all those reasons we talked about, and I just can't find fault, really, in anything that they did. It's so much fun, and it's such a good movie. I really hope that what we get in the future from DC, which Justice League is next, and we talked about there's a lot of reshoots going on, So I hope that they're using this as an example, which I believe they are, and let's get more movies like this.
What's up, Giamatti?
This is a quote regarding the cameo from Linda Carter. We were trying to see if I could do something with the movie, but it didn't work out. The timing was off, and I was doing other things and couldn't get over there.
What the hell is Linda Carter doing? What else does Linda Carter have to do?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not trying to I'm not trying to poke fun at Linda Carter, but what else is Linda Carter going to be in that she's so busy she can't do this?
The comic book convention is busy this time of year, man.
Maybe that's what it is, but you would think that they could, you know, fly her out for a couple days. I mean, how long does their cameo have to be? A couple of minutes. That can't take too long to shoot, then you fly her right back out. I'm not buying that.
That sounds like spin to me. There's no way that if you originated a character that, and you're famous for it, and this is the first Wonder Woman movie in almost 76 years, and you have that, there's no way that you can't make that happen if you wanted to. So there's something up there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Kevin, I hope you get rescued soon. We look forward to having you on next week when we talk about Tom Cruise and The Mummy. And hopefully, I just got a big thumbs up from Giamatti. He's hoping it's going to be good. So hopefully, when we have you on next Friday, you'll be giving him some good news.
I hope so. So that sounds great. And until then, everyone, regardless of if you're a Wonder Woman fan or not, or if you think that it's something that will appeal to you, go see the film. You will not be disappointed.
Hey, Gal Gadot is gorgeous, so that's enough for me to go see it, to be honest with you.
She is. And, you know, I will leave with one last point. When she was cast as Wonder Woman, I was skeptical, and I'll admit it, and I will take back everything I said. She just doesn't have the build that you would think of when you look at Wonder Woman. You know, it just, I didn't see her. She's very thin. She's in very good shape, but she has a smaller build. And so I didn't know if she could cut it. But you do not look at her one time in the film and go, oh, she doesn't look like Wonder Woman. She owns it, and she takes over. It's awesome. So no complaint.
There you go. Kevin, have a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thank you. You do the same. Take care.
That is Kevin Brackett from RealSpoilers.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett. It is now time to head back to that 590 Show Sports Update desk and Matt Rocchio.
And if you weren't with us a little while ago, there was some breaking news in the NFL as the Chiefs have announced they have released former Missouri wide receiver Jeremy Maclin. He had a tough year this past year and a $10 million cap hit, all adding to the decision of the Kansas City Chiefs. Earlier today, the Cardinals fell to the Cubs 3-2. Lance Lynn had a solid game, 5 1/3 inning pitched. 2 hits allowed, 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts. He picked up the no decision. Rosenthal picked up the L for the Cardinals. 1 inning pitch, 1 hit, 1 earned run. Cardinals back in action tomorrow afternoon for another 1:20 p.m. first pitch. Mike Leake takes on the lefty John Lester. In action right now, the Orioles up over the Red Sox 3-1 in the bottom of the fourth. Also in the bottom frame of the fourth, 4-0, the Blue Jays over the Yankees. The Braves still out in front of the Reds, 1-0 in the top of the fifth. And moving into the bottom of the fourth, the Pirates leading the Mets 4-2. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Ryan Dunn, who is the president of the St. Louis Royals Rugby Football Club. They're playing for the Division III Championship in Glendale, Colorado this Sunday. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.